I want to welcome everyone out this morning. This is the Friday, March 15th, 2013, regular session of Commissioners Court. We're going to start this morning out by an invocation given by me, and then we will stand for our pledges. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the opportunity to all be here today. We're thankful for the citizens in attendance and for our opportunity to serve on the Commissioners Court. We ask that Thy Spirit be here with us to guide us and help us understand each other. Help us to make correct decisions for this county and for all those who live here. We are grateful for the many blessings we have, and foremost, we are thankful for our Savior Jesus Christ and His atoning sacrifice. And we say these things in His name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Item 3 on the agenda is to consider and take action on approval of A, the minutes of the meeting held on February the 28th, 2013.
Move to approve the minutes of previous meeting. Second.
Motion by Commissioner Spencer, seconded by Commissioner Heffner to approve the minutes of the February 28th, 2013. Any of those in favor?
Aye.
That's approved.
None of them about it.
Item B, are payroll changes?
Move to approve payroll changes.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Spencer, seconded by Commissioner Gentry to approve payroll changes. Those in favor?
Aye.
Payroll changes are approved. Item 3C is the payroll.
Move to approve payroll.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Spencer, seconded by Commissioner Burka to approve payroll. Those in favor?
Aye.
Payroll is approved. Item 3D, are budget amendments?
Move to approve budget amendments.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Spencer, seconded by Commissioner Burka to approve budget amendments. Those in favor?
Aye.
Commissioner Heffner.
Oh, Commissioner Heffner, sorry.
Aye.
Oh. Budget amendments are approved.
Get into this.
Item 3E are accounts payable.
I have a question.
Yes.
On our PBX system where we paid Susan Wood, is that the same as Johnny Wood?
Yes, it is. That's his wife. Okay. They've just changed up the, because he's on Social Security now, and his business is in her name.
Okay.
That may be too much information.
Move to approve accounts payable.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Spencer, seconded by Commissioner Gentry to approve accounts payable. Those in favor?
Aye.
Accounts payable are approved.
Thank you.
Item 3F is to accept for recording auditor reports, treasurer reports, bonds, oaths, deputations, full exemption racial profiling report for Stanley Jenkins, Constable Precinct 3, AIA document A201-2007, general conditions of the contract for construction by MMI General Contractors.
That AIA document, we've already approved it, haven't we?
So we're just approving it for recording?
Actually, that's just his document telling us what he's going to do. Then the contract actually comes here in another agenda item.
Okay.
We don't actually approve that. He's the only person that signs that one.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Gentry, second by Commissioner Heffner to approve and record those documents. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those are recorded. Item 3G are applications for use of Upshur County roads and rights of way and permit requests.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Spencer, second by Commissioner Burka to approve the rights of way and permit requests. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those are approved. Item 4 is discuss and take action to accept offer for full struck-off amount for property described in tax suit 08-101TX.
This bid is for an amount of $3,558.46. It's over in the Big Sandy area at 600 Old Water Bluffs Road. It's a 0.253 acre or less in the John Carson survey at Street 69. Like you said, this is for the full amount, so I do recommend that y'all approve it.
I make a motion. We approve it.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Burka, second by Commissioner Spencer to approve it. Those in favor?
Aye.
And I want to say something, Judge. Since we've gone to this method, we've been receiving the full struck-off amount a lot more often.
So it's working well.
Thank y'all.
You want a copy of it now? Okay. No, it just goes into the record. So just put both of those in there.
You don't sign it now.
Item 5 is to discuss and take action to approve and accept for recording interlocal agreements between Upshur County and schools or incorporated cities within the county. We have one for Gilmer ISD.
Move to approve the interlocal agreement between Upshur County and Gilmer ISD.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Spencer, second by Commissioner Gentry to approve the interlocal agreement with Gilmer ISD. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's approved. Item 6 is to discuss and take action to approve the AIA document A133-2009 standard form of agreement between owner and construction manager as constructor for courthouse emergency ADA compliance renovation. And this one is the actual contract with him.
And this is what they had, the general conditions and their fee and all that stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Move to record.
Second.
Actually, we need to approve.
Approve and record.
All right. Motion by Commissioner Heffner, seconded by Commissioner Spencer to approve and record that document. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's approved. Item 7 is to discuss and take action to place signs at Library Park area. You know, the Friends of the Library have placed a fence around the pergola that they built, and what has occurred is some people are treating that like a dog park, taking their animals in there, and then they're leaving without cleaning up after their animals. And then we have kids who come and play in that area, and so it's not good. What the Friends of the Library have asked is if Road and Bridge could make a sign that we could post by the gate that says no animals except service animals. They also requested that we place a sign by the gate that says no unaccompanied children.
Sounds reasonable. Not a problem for
you can do that, Andy?
Yes.
Okay.
Can I make a motion that we place the signs at the library park?
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Gentry, seconded by Commissioner Burka to place those signs at the library park. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's approved. Item 8 is discuss and take action to approve repair of the courthouse torchier. About a year and a half ago, the lamp on the north side was broken and bent, by the roof that came across the street in the high wind, and we need to get that fixed. Insurance has paid us just a very minimal amount, about $400 for that. But what they're telling us is if we will go ahead and get it repaired, then they'll reimburse us some more. We have one bid from Van Inner Studios in Dallas to repair that for $5,800. We have another bid from Mahan Fabricators out here at West Mountain, and they say that they can repair it for $735. Here's a...
That doesn't include total.
Yeah, there's more to it than that. Van Inner Studios is recognized by the Texas Historical Commission as an expert metal conservator. And here's the situation that we're in with the lamp. He will repair it, and he will replace the glass, and he will use all the structural bronze and soldered copper and parts that make it structurally exactly the way it was. I mean, his job is to make it
historically correct.
If we spend $5,800 with him, then our insurance policy will give us about $4,000 back, which means we spend $1,800 out of pocket. If we go with Mahan, then we just spend $735. So it's $1,100 more to use the studio in Dallas. But here's the real issue. If it's not done exactly the way Texas Historical Commission wants it done, then they may come back and tell us that we're going to have to redo it.
Does Mahan's include the glass?
No, Mahan's does not include the glass.
So it actually cost more than $750. That was just the metal work.
That's the metal work with Mahan.
Yeah, but it's turnkey, total that with them.
Except for the electrical. And yeah. Mahan's doesn't include the electrical either.
Yeah.
And it's just the what I worry about is if it's not fixed exactly the way the Historical Commission wants it fixed, then we'll be faced with spending our own money to fix it. And so we'll turn around and have to spend another... And the guy at Van Inter actually said, he said, you know, you might want to throw $735 at it, and then if it doesn't fix it the way you want it fixed, then you can always pay me to fix it. But the problem we have is that our insurance company is going to close the claim on June the 30th, and if we don't have it fixed by then, we will lose the insurance money.
So we're probably, if you add the gas to the glass, to Mahan's, I mean, assume that costs a couple hundred bucks, so we're talking about $1,000. So do we want to risk it for $1,000, I guess is the question.
$1,000 to save $5,800 in the future, is what it amounts to.
Do we pay $1,000 now and know it's taken care of, or do we?
The assumption though is that we're going to restore it, the courthouse.
Yeah.
That's the assumption.
So it's got to be up to specs.
No. It's got to be up to specs, period, whether we ever restore the courthouse.
Because of insurance.
No, because we've already signed an easement with Texas Historical Commission.
Oh, that puts in a whole nother light.
I mean, they can come and look at that lamp, and if they don't like it, they will tell us to redo it.
Does he guarantee his work?
Yes.
This kind of sheds a little different light on it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So we're committed in that regard.
Well, we really are.
I fixed the window for $200-something. It saved $11,000, so I think this will save us in the long run. I move that we let, what's the name of the company?
Van Inter.
Van Inter
Studio.
Restore the lamp. The historical. And I think that'll be the best shot in the long run.
My second.
Before we vote, that their bid did not include delivery and pickup.
Yeah.
I may be going to Dallas here in the next couple of weeks. Okay. I'll be glad to take it, or even if I don't, I don't mind taking it up there if I need to and going to get it.
And we're going to have to discuss coming and getting it back here, because Chuck and I looked at it a lot the other day, and Chuck thinks that once it's put back together, it's going to be too heavy for anybody to move. It's going to have to be assembled here. Now, the guy at the studio said, well, he said, I'm not sure. He said, you're just going to have to let me look at it, fix it, and then he said, we'll make that decision at that point.
If we need to set it with a machine, Road and Bridge can probably bring us a backhoe. We can wrap a strap around it.
We can pick that lamp up. Ain't no problem. That's right. We can do it.
You can help. Is our insurance company going to give us anything for the electrical work or any of the other kind of stuff, or are they locked at $4,000? Is that a cap on that? What's the reason that? How much electrical's involved, Chuck?
Not very much. It's pretty simple. It's just a three-wire Romax
wire nuts
source at the base up to the lamp itself. So it's very simple electronics. There may have to be an actual piece of hardware to screw the bulb into.
$5,800 repair. The $1,450 depreciation. That's the total amount they're going to give us, and they've already paid us that. So that's the $4,000 right there. So,
but there could be additional charge. The $5,800 is
right,
the
bits. We haven't talked to them about electrical.
Can we talk to them about additional charges of transportation and some of the other stuff? This actual dollar amount should go up, and then our 25% off. So I think that we need to address it with them, that there could be additional charges, and they need to be prepared for it, because we have some expenses to get it here, to assemble it.
Can we go ahead and proceed with this and then talk to them?
Yeah. And I'll talk to the... I'll talk to that claim supervisor.
Kevin Yandel.
He's right. When all that bill gets here, to change it.
Okay.
Make it less for us.
Motion's by Commissioner Spencer, seconded by Commissioner Heffner to approve the repair of the porch lamp with Van Inner Studios. Those in favor?
That was Paula that seconded it.
Paula seconded it. Sorry.
Did you say it?
V-A-N?
V-A-N-E-N-T-E-R Studios.
L-T-V.
Two words.
Yes, two words. Thank you, that passed. Number nine is to discuss and take action on securing a STEP program person for the maintenance department.
Yes. Chuck and I talked, and there are a lot of old files and things that he's been having to try to go through to find maintenance agreements and different things, manuals and stuff, and the files are in a mess. So instead of him spending 2 and 3 hours trying to go through that, we can have a STEP program, which would benefit someone, hopefully from within the county, that can come and work 4 hours a day, and the state will pay them. It wouldn't cost the county anything. It would free Chuck up not to have to sit in there and do the office stuff, and he can actually be out doing things. So
will they be able to like get your POs and tickets up to the auditor? And
since February, I've spent probably more time in the office trying to figure out what has been overlooked, because in the last few years the department has dropped an employee, added on a lot of daily workload on the three remaining employees. Then we were without a department manager for a couple of months. And the very first thing to suffer was the record keeping. And so we have some holes in the filing system. I've actually procured at no cost to the department a computer, and we're going to go computerized record keeping with a backup paper file. And once that's established, it'll be easy to maintain. But to establish it, it needs a person to kind of work through those files full time, catch them up, find the holes, plug them paperwork wise, and then do a database too. So it's really no cost to the county. And it's direly needed, because bookkeeping is how we stay accountable and understand our stock and where it's going and how much to order and what not to order. So I really think it's it will help us out.
Will this be A single person, or will it be different ones all the time?
Right now, we're working on a single person.
It's the same person every day.
Okay.
Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I didn't mean married or otherwise.
And one of the things, too, we have the extra phone, too, that she will be able to coordinate instead of us calling their cell phones and stuff.
It's the same thing we utilize down in the extension office.
Commissioner, that didn't quite happen. The fourth phone was not reinstated, so
okay.
So we'll be careful that I'll be in the office some every day to instruct the help, and then I'll be out in the field the rest of the time.
Okay. I move that we secure a staff program person for maintenance department.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Spencer, seconded by Commissioner Gentry to try to obtain a STEP program person for the maintenance department. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's approved. Thank you, Chuck. Item 10 is to discuss and take action to hire an additional employee for the road and bridge department. And Andy, what I understand is that you'd like to take money from part-time and create a new full-time position?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
You have the money in your budget?
Yes, sir.
And I talked with Andy about this, and it seems like it'll work. So I'm over with allow Road and Bridge to hire an additional, move money from part-time help to hire an additional employee for Road and Bridge.
Second.
That's what you needed, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
Motion by Commissioner Spencer, seconded by Commissioner Barker to allow Road and Bridge to take money from part-time help, move it to full-time help, and hire an additional employee. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's approved.
Who seconded that?
Commissioner Barker.
Can I take a minute?
Yes.
I'd like to thank Andy and the guys at Road and Bridge. Y'all have been working really, really hard to get things done and handle the calls with the taxpayer. And we've had some really excited people about your work. And I just want to tell you that I really appreciate what you're doing and the effort that you're putting forth.
And I appreciate that. All the thanks go to those guys. I'm doing nothing different.
Thank you, Andy. Item 11 is to discuss and take action to transfer a 1994 four-door Chevrolet truck with the VIN number here on the agenda from building maintenance to road and bridge.
As it turns out, Andy, is this still a gift to you that's going to work?
Yes, sir.
This turned out to be a dinosaur albatross hanging around our neck, and we took it out to the road and bridge, and Andy took a look at it and says, "My gosh, I can put that thing to work. If I put a motor in it, is that what you decided to do?"
We're going to be able to. We were going to have to purchase two more trucks for the mowers this year anyway, and they were going to run about $5,000, and we're going to be able to get this one going for under $1,000.
Thank you.
Amen. I'll move to transfer the 1994 four-door Chevy truck from building maintenance to road and bridge.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Hefner, seconded by Commissioner Gentry to transfer the truck described on the agenda from building maintenance to road and bridge. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's approved. Item 12 is to discuss and take action to purchase access to updates for voting districts for voter registrar.
This is an item I had placed on the agenda. The voter registrar had contacted me, and when address changes happen and somebody moves in or moves within the county, she gets the address, and it doesn't quite have the program she needs to nail down exactly what voting precincts and all the districts and all that. So this is a purchase of hardware or software that will allow her to see it layers in the different precincts and district lines. It's a cost of $50 per month, so it's a total of $600 a year. And basically, they give us a password for access. And then if other entities in the county, like the fire departments or anybody, if they need it, we can...
Emergency services district.
Emergency services, we can allow them the access with the password. So it just makes the voter registrar's job real easy, because sometimes when people live right on the district line, it's hard to determine exactly which district they're in or which precinct. So
I had met with the ESDs in the Firemen's Association, and that topic came up, and also they were they were going to have to pay the same amount of money, but as you said, we can piggyback off of that.
Yes.
And apparently, they can go in, and these maps that they're very concerned about, that they're going to have to pay $6 a page for, to get, they're going to be able to maybe print them themselves and save $6 a page for every fire truck in the 13, what have we got, 13 fire districts? Going to be able to save, they're going to be able to save quite a bit of money by being able to piggyback off of that deal.
So before we have any motions, Mr. Miles, did you want to discuss this?
No, Your Honor, no, this was mostly out of generosity because an explanation wasn't given.
Okay.
And thank you for allowing the discussion before the first.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Miles.
I make a motion that we approve the purchase to access the updates for voting districts from Metcog.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Barca, seconded by Commissioner Gentry to purchase the access to updates for the voting districts for the voter registrar. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's approved. Item 13 is to discuss and take action to adopt a resolution of support for HJR 103. HJR 103 is a House joint resolution that will, if it passes by two-thirds majority in the Texas House and the Texas Senate, it will place an constitutional amendment on the ballot in November, which would allow counties between 18,000 and 50,000 to control the number of justice of the peace and constable offices that they have in their counties. So, discussion.
This is an item that I had placed on the agenda. Prior to November of 1999, counties were free to set the number of JP and constable precincts within the population requirements of Article 5, Section 18, Subsection A of the Texas Constitution, and they were allowed to do this according to the needs of the people. Prior to 1999, the population requirement to have four JP and constable precincts was 30,000. The 1999 amendment was to raise that number from 30,000 to 50,000. Somewhere during the legislative process, the last sentence of Article 5, Section 18, Subsection A was added. This sentence required counties with four or more precincts on November 2nd, 1999 to be divided into not less than four precincts. The 1999 amendment to raise that population requirement was put forth due to new developments in technology, which increased efficiency and all that stuff with the new stuff. Counties that had less than four precincts are still free to set the number of JP and constable precincts according to their needs, to providing they follow the population requirements in the Constitution. What this resolution asks for is that for our county and other counties in the state that will be affected, the same freedom that these other counties have. I don't know why the counties with four or more precincts were singled out, but this will affect, this is a resolution or a declaration saying that if it passes that we support this amendment, and it will give our county and 60 other counties that will be affected by this amendment the same freedoms that other counties already have. It doesn't have any force, the declaration doesn't, it just shows support for this bill, and all I'm asking for is for our county to have the same freedoms to determine the needs of our people that other counties have.
Any other comments? Commissioner Constable Dolly, you wanted to address this issue.
Honorable Judge Fowler and Commissioner Short, I thank you for this time to address this court on the issue of HJR 103. I come here today to ask you not to support HJR 103 by resolution or any other way this might be considered. HJR 103 is bad for the state, county, and most of all, the people of the great state of Texas. It takes away their ability to choose who they really want to be their JP and constable. Number one, it has been stated that the people will get to vote for their JP and constable, but in actuality, the JP and the constable will be more concerned about pleasing the commissioner's court than the people who elect them. The voters get their voice heard only every 4 years. With this amendment to the Texas Constitution, the Commissioners' Court can add or eliminate precincts each year. It is just sound, practical judgment that the JP and constables will be more inclined to please the Commissioners' Court than the voters, because the commissioners will be able to eliminate their precinct for budgetary purposes. The county of Upshur is growing close to 2% each year, and within the next 10 years, Upshur will be close or above 50,000 in population. Taking two constables off the street and two JPs out of service will cause the courts to become overloaded, JPs being on call every weeknight and every other weekend. The citizens will have less law enforcement on the street and will be required in lots of cases to drive further, wait longer in lines for less service. With a JP or constable has to be off or goes on vacation, that will put a greater burden on the remaining JP and constable and cause greater stress on the citizens. Upshur County has cut their services to the proverbial bone, and it has been said the Sheriff's Department can take up the slack of the constable. The Sheriff's Department is stretched to the limit now, and the added burden of the constable's responsibility will take more law enforcement off the street. The final argument to the statement is, we will hire more people. If you're going to hire more people, why would you want to cut out the people that are already in place, trained, knowledgeable, and already doing the job? Good question. Please remember, crime does not wear a watch or check the date to see when the most experienced and best trained officers are on the street. I talked to the Justice of the Peace and Constables Association reps in Austin. They stated this is a bad, bad resolution for several reasons. A, the way it went straight to committee without a resolution of support from either of the counties that our state representative represents. As the Gilmer Mirror so suitably said, this is a constitutional amendment to abolish the office of JP and constables at the will of the Commissioner's Court. This is just a first step of what could become a trend to control the judges and sheriff's department. Then what? Who knows? Will we become like New York, Chicago, Detroit, where a board of trustees or commissioners run the whole county, and all the justices of peace and law enforcement is appointed by these individuals? Look at the shape they are in. Is this what we want for Upshur County? I also spoke to the Texas Association of Counties. This is the very association that primarily represents the county judges and commissioners. They told me to quote them on this, and they said, quote, they are very seriously concerned about this amendment. In the end, who are the losers? With the passing of this amendment, the citizens of Upshur County. Less protection, less service, longer waiting lines for life and death situations. Let us take this county forward instead of taking it backward. Let us come together and defeat this amendment and make Upshur County number one in this great state of Texas. Thank you, Court. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Constable Dolly. Constable Weeks, you want to address this issue?
Gentlemen, Court. I would first like to say I'm not for Bill 103, nor do I agree with the sly and underhanded tactics that it used to bring it to be. Gentlemen, when you're elected to elected by the voters for your precinct to be commissioner, there's an expectation of those voters that you will perform your duties with honesty and integrity and good ethics. But in regards to this bill, the honesty and integrity of this court must be questioned.
Jason, the rules don't allow that. So you can talk about what you don't like about the resolution.
Okay. I think that it's a power. It's been misconstrued to sound like it's going to be put into the hands of the citizens to vote and do away with or add precincts and constables and JPs. Doesn't say anything about adding or taking away commissioners. For if you cut it in two precincts, why would you need four commissioners for two precincts? I don't agree with the way that it's being put out there that the voters are going to have the choice in the matter, because they're going to vote, and if they vote in favor of it, it's going to give y'all the authority to take and add as you want to. It's not going to be the voters that have the say. So
So I do not agree with that. You're pulling law enforcement off the street and saving money. It's not going to save money when you have to up the pay for the two remaining. Probably going to have to add office help and up their pay. It's not going to save $230,000 by any means. And the counties that were compared to ours were Titus, Hopkins, Cook, and Titus has 425 square miles of coverage in their county. Hopkins has 767, Cook has 874, Upshur County has 583. The population for Titus County is 32,334, with 15,564 of those people living within the city limits of Mount Pleasant. So that leaves the rest covered by county law enforcement. Hopkins has 35,161, with 15,449 of those living in the city limits of Sulphur Springs. And Cook County has 38,436, with 16,002 of those living within Gainesville. Gilmer, on the other hand, has 39,309, with city population being 4,905. So we have a lot more citizens that are covered by county law enforcement. We are law enforcement agencies. The county is behind. We take calls from the county to help them because they're short-handed right now. So if you take the law enforcement off the street and double the load on the other constables, it's not going to be a good deal, nor is it going to be a money saver for the county. Thank you.
Thank you, Constable.
Can you respond to that? I want to respond in this way. With respect to the two constables, you were deliberating the possibility of losing some positions in Upshur County. This resolution is not about that at this time. This resolution is affecting counties other than Upshur. Some of them have 10,000 people and still have to be restricted to having four constables and four JPs. This resolution is to rectify our Constitution, which was amended to not let those counties, us included, be able to do anything that we want to on our own, what I consider local control. The word freedom was mentioned. We get mandated weekly by the state and federal governments of programs and things that we're required to do, we have no control over, and most times we end up spending a lot of money to do those same things. But I want to get us back to the issue that this is not about Upshur County, this is about 60 plus counties that have had their rights taken away from them and don't have the freedom to rule themselves. Going forward though, if this bill should pass, then it has to pass by two-thirds of the majority of the House, it has to pass by two-thirds majority of the Senate, then it has to go to a vote of the public of Texas. And it's just about cleaning up an amendment that was put on this bill. I don't know quite why, but it was just thrown in at the last minute. And this just takes that little paragraph back out and giving all counties the local control of the 190 plus counties that already have it.
Now, I'll respond to that.
I want to clear up a few things. We cannot change precincts yearly. If you read Article 5, Section 18 of the Texas Constitution, it will explain how that process would work. There was a lot of questions there about abolishing offices and hiring more people that I've never heard. I don't know where that's coming from. This is simply to restore organizational freedom to these counties. All of the counties have the local organizational freedom except the ones the 60 or so that are affected. And the people will have a say in November if this passes the legislature.
No, there were some rules adopted by the court in February of 2011. While I was absent, I'm not saying, I mean, I probably would have approved them too, but those rules are very specific about how public participation works. So it's not to cut anybody off, it's just that it's so that we can maintain some decorum in the court. Any other discussion?
We have a hand.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
I'll move to adopt a resolution of support for House Joint Resolution 103. I second it.
The motion is by Commissioner Hefner, seconded by Commissioner Burka, to approve a resolution supporting House Joint Resolution 103. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed?
Aye.
Move to adjourn?
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.